Good afternoon. So last time we talked about things we can do with page tables when we take advantage of page tables not needing to tell the whole story about what a program's memory looks like. So the page tables are a mechanism to tell the hardware what to do, and when the hardware doesn't know how to handle a situation, it asks the OS. And the OS can take advantage of this by having a different notion of what the sort of logical view of a program's memory is. And we saw kind of our first example of this with allocate on demand, and then we saw some other things we could do with this. We went through the example of copy on write, which is how we make fork, which appears to copy the memory of a whole program, not actually copy everything right away. Instead, we just mark the memory as read-only and kind of pretend that we copied it, but we haven't really. And when one of those copies gets modified, at that point, we actually do the copy, so the copies are independent. And when before they're written, they're technically the same thing, but the program can't really notice because it's exactly the same. And this gave us kind of an efficient way of implementing fork, well, kind of efficient way of implementing fork. And kind of our central idea is we had what I call page table tricks, where we kind of react to a page or protection fault by saying, oh yeah, that's actually a valid part of the program's memory. Let's just fix up the page table to make that work out. And kind of the key component we needed to make this system viable is we have some separate data structure that's not our page table saying what parts of the program's memory are valid and what they correspond to. Then we talked about, well, we have these page tables, we need to get the hardware, how do we store those for the hardware to use? And our scheme was, well, it's a table. If we think of our programming languages we've used like C, tables are like arrays. So we used an array. And in particular, we decided on an array of integers where we'd have each integer represent a page table entry. We'd have our hardware decide how do we take the parts of a page table entry, our valid and permission bits and our page number, and put them in an integer. And once we've set that up, we'd have to tell the hardware where that array was. If we think of how we tell C programs where arrays are, we need a pointer to the beginning of the array, and that's exactly what we give the hardware. We have a special register, we just give it a pointer to the beginning of that array. And once we've told the hardware that, we said, well, what is the hardware now doing when it has a program trying to access memory somewhere? Well, it needs to look up the page table entry. So it's going to do an array lookup, it's going to get a page table entry as an integer, it's going to decode that integer, figure out if the access is valid, and if it is, it's going to take the physical page number, combine it with the original page offset, and do a second memory access. So we have a first memory access to get our page table entry, and then a second memory access to access what the program actually wanted to do, be it like fetching instructions or modifying something from a move instruction. Whatever operation the program's doing with memory, we're going to have this extra memory access to look up the page table entry to figure out where is that really accessing memory. It's not the location the program's pointer says, it's something that gets translated to something else. So questions on things we covered last time? Okay. So I'd like to talk a little about quiz question 4, since this seemed to provoke a bit of confusion. So quiz question 4 is we told you something about things that happened in the memory access, and we wanted you to figure out what address it could have been. And for thinking about this question, I've just started by saying, here are abstractly the steps of our memory access with a single level page table. We get a virtual address from the program. We split it up into a virtual page number and a page offset. We read a page table entry at the array lookup location of a base address of our page table plus the virtual page number times the size of the page table entry. We decode that to get our valid and permission bits and physical page number. And then assuming it was valid and the permissions all worked out, we access memory using that physical page number concatenated with our original page offset. So that's our general process. And we had this specific question. And I can just write in the values we had in the question. And I find out, OK, the question told us the base address of that single level page table was 0x100000. We don't know what the VPN is, but we know it's multiplied by 8, because that's our page table entry size. And we know the result of that, where we actually read the page table entry from, we're told is address 100340 in hex. We also are told that, well, we got a page table entry with a value of 400000F, and we can decode that and realize, oh, the valid bit's set, all the permission bits are set to true, and it has physical page number 40000. And we're asked, what's a possible value for the original virtual address here? That's what the question asks. So for figuring it out, well, I can see that in all this whole process, using all the information we have in the question, there's no restriction on the page offset. So the page offset could be anything, but we do have a restriction on the virtual page number. The virtual page number has to satisfy this equation. We can solve that to find out that it must be 68 hex. And we know the virtual address, well, we got the virtual page number by splitting up the virtual address, so we can get back the virtual address by concatenating the virtual address with the page offset. And we know that page offset was 12 bits, but we don't know what its value is. And in fact, we know that, you know, with the information in the question, any value is possible. And so this gave us an accepted answer of 68 combined with any 12 bits for any possible page offset. Questions? My solution for this part of the quiz. Okay, so that I'll move on to our primary topic for today, which is about dealing with, from last time, big page tables. So, you know, with the address space sizes we have in sort of typical modern machines, the approach of having an array of page table entries isn't good enough. So with my laptop, for example, it has 48-bit virtual addresses with 36-bit virtual page numbers, and it has 8-byte page table entries given the size of all the permission bits and the physical page number. And if we were storing them as a big array, that would mean each process's page table would be half a terabyte. I'm typically running like 50 to 100 processes, so that's, you know, 25 to 50 terabytes storage for just page tables. Obviously, we don't do that, and we can't do that. And the way we're going to work around doing that is we're going to look at what our program's memory typically looks like, and we're going to say, oh, well, most pages aren't valid. Most of our memory is invalid. And this picture actually gives you kind of the wrong impression, because to make things readable, like I've drawn the stack pretty, you know, as a pretty large portion of our memory. But if we think of a typical 64-bit system, you know, the number of virtual addresses is huge. So like a more realistic version of this is we have our used by OS slot. And we have our stack. And we have our code and data. You know, for a typical program, like you wouldn't actually really be able to see most of these regions of memory, because most everything is invalid. And the way we're going to store our page tables in a feasible manner is we're going to take advantage of this and try not to store most of the invalid page table entries. We're just not going to have them in the data structure we end up using. So we don't want to store invalid page table entries. And to do this, we're going to have a data structure that doesn't look like a flat array. And what we want is basically a map. We want to take keys, which are our virtual page numbers, and get either a page table entry or there's nothing there, in which case we'll do the same thing as if we found a page table entry that was marked invalid. And if you remember DSA1, you probably can think of a few data structures which are candidates for this. There probably basically two options. Can someone name one data structure that DSA1 would tell you, we want a map? What would be a good choice for that? Yeah. A hash table. So that's the thing that naturally comes up. You know, it's very asymptotically efficient. It's pretty simple to implement. Yeah. And that's a good option. And that's what I kind of have as our obvious first choice. That's not the data structure we're going to learn. And it's not because it's not a good option. It is a good option. There were some real processors that use this strategy. It's no longer common these days. The most common implementation of this hash table strategy was something called inverted page tables. And this is because if you look at the details of the inverted page table scheme, they tried to have kind of one entry for every physical page on the system. So that's part of, and there's a way to look up things by physical page relatively efficiently, so that's part of where this scheme came from. But basically, what was called inverted page tables was a scheme that used hash tables for lookup. And this is not what's won in the market, and most architects have moved away, computer architects have moved away from this. And I think probably the primary reason why they've moved away from it is because although hash tables like are generally very efficient, the issue with dealing with collisions is pretty complicated for hardware. It has the annoyance that like some accesses take extra time. So most hardware doesn't use a hash table, even though, yeah, it's a pretty good idea, and you can make it work, and there's real chips that have made this work and made this work well. So if we aren't using hash tables, what should we do? Yeah, someone who hasn't gone perfectly. What is that? Something you've learned in DSA1. To implement a map from keys, which are integers, to values, which we could represent as integers. Yeah.
Richard. Priority queue.
So a what?
Priority queue.
Priority queue. So I was looking for priority queue doesn't give us key lookup efficiently. Yeah.
A binary search tree.
A search tree. So a tree. But yeah, so note that the important thing is we want key lookups. So we don't want ordering doesn't really matter to us, which is why a hash table was fine. But we do want key lookups. That's important. But we can't use a heap because, you know, we can't look up something in the middle of a heap quickly. So a binary search tree seems like kind of the obvious option. We're not going to quite use a binary search tree, but we are going to use a tree data structure. And you might say, why not use a binary search tree, right? Binary search trees, we know how to make them efficient. They have, you know, good time complexity, and they're not that hard to implement, even when you take into account balancing. And the reason why I say a tree data structure and not quite a search tree is that there's kind of some constraints that our hardware is going to give us that are going to make us want to structure this tree very different than a binary search tree. And we're going to have reasons to get rid of the binary part and the search part. But it's still going to end up with a tree. And the big reason is that these lookups are implemented in hardware, and it's really important that the lookup is simple in hardware. And this, first of all, drives us away from the search tree idea, that comparators, you know, it's not really complicated, but that's more work than we'd like to do. We don't want to be comparing things. Instead, we want it to be similar to how our single-level lookup worked, in that we take some bits of the address and use them in a calculation, that we don't have, like, if statement sort of things, that's annoying to implement in our hardware. So that need for simpler calculations is going to mean that we're going to have a scheme where rather than doing a bunch of comparisons, we want to take some bits of our address and use them in the lookup kind of directly rather than having sort of conditional operations, because that's going to be something we'd rather not have implemented in our hardware. The other big constraint we have, so this lookup, you know, in hardware made us want to shy away from a search tree. We also don't want this lookup to have many memory accesses. So with a single level page table, the ones we've shown you before with a big array, we have this issue that we're kind of doubling our memory accesses. And this already has an enormous performance penalty. When we talk about caches, we'll talk about how we make that performance penalty a lot better, but it's still not great. It's something we want to avoid doing. And if we think of a typical binary tree, if we have a program with, say, 1,000 pages of memory, we'd expect around a 10 deep tree. And that would mean that that program, when we're doing our lookups, we'd have to do 11 memory accesses to access one thing. And that's a real lot. We'd like to avoid this. So to avoid that, we will instead have trees that are really fat. We'll have nodes with lots of children. Not just two or three, but lots of children. At least potentially lots of children. And this is going to mean that even when we have many, like a million pages in a page table for a process, we're not going to have a very deep tree, meaning you don't have to do many accesses to do a lookup. And I mentioned we want to have kind of our lookups be sort of simple using the address. So, well, let's think about, like, I have this tree where each of my nodes has lots of children. How would I store those children? Probably I have basically a list of pointers, an array of pointers. And we're going to structure this so we have an array of children here. And we're going to use bits of the address to look up in this array. And kind of like with our binary trees, like every node has a left and right pointer, every node in our tree here is going to have a big array of pointers. Not all of those pointers will be valid. Just like in a binary tree, you know, just because we have a left and right pointer doesn't mean they're not null. But we're going to look up using some bits of our address, so that means the lookup is really simple. There's no comparisons. Really nice for hardware to implement. And if we think of what's going on here, we'll see that if we think of what at one node here, it kind of looks like our single level page table, the page table we introduced with a big array. You know, each level kind of looks like that. We have an array of kind of pointers. Our page table entries are kind of pointers. They're not really pointers, but they're close. And that's kind of the data structure we'll use, is that we'll use our single level array of page table entries idea, but we'll kind of have layers of that, where the first layer we have something like an array of page table entries, but instead of pointing to the program's actual code or data, they point to another page table like that. And eventually, when we go down far enough, we get to the actual code or data. So to give a more concrete example of what this looks like, showing if we have some, we have two levels, so we're going to set things up such that my tree is always exactly two deep. And the way I'm going to do this as far as my addresses go is I'm going to have my virtual address. I have a page offset. We don't know here how big the page offsets are. And I have a 16-bit virtual page number that we're going to split up into two parts. I'm going to use the first part to determine where we are in what I've labeled as the first level page table. And since I'm using the first part of the virtual page number, this means that, you know, all the things that used our first entry have all zeros in those first bits of the virtual page number, in this case, the first 8 bits. Everything that uses the second entry, virtual page numbers 100 through 1FF, have a 1 in those first 8 bits, then a 2, and so on. So given a virtual page number in my hardware, it's really easy to just select those top 8 bits and do the array lookup we already learned how to do for a single level table, same logic but with different bits, to find our entry in this first level table. And in cases where we have actual potential data there, we might, our first level table will point to a potential second level table. So for example, here, I have a table that will be used if I'm accessing virtual page numbers 300 through 3FF. So if I'm accessing virtual page 302, the hardware is going to first go to this first level table, look up array element 3, and see that, oh, the next table, the next level of our tree for that, that's going to be stored where this points. And then it's going to say, oh, if I'm looking for, say, 302, you know, I'm going to go to entry 2. If I'm looking for 3, I go to 3. And at that point, I'll get a page table entry like the ones we've seen for our single big array design. Now, where we're saving space is that, let's say I don't have any valid addresses with virtual page numbers 100 through 2FF. In that case, I don't store a valid pointer at the first and second slot. I just have basically a null pointer. We'll learn that it's not actually a null pointer, but it's effectively a null pointer, just saying there's no second level table for that whole range. That's how we're saving space. That's also why when I'm using this virtual page number, I'm starting with the most significant part, because if we look at our diagram of these holes, you know, these addresses here all share the most significant, same most significant bits, and we want things that share the most significant bits to be likely to be all invalid, so we don't need a second level table for that at all. We don't need that second layer of the tree for those big ranges. So questions about our two-level example of this sort of very fat tree data structure? Yeah?
Can you explain again how the 16-bit VPN,
can I explain again how the 16-bit VPN is split up? Sure. So we have a 16-bit VPN, and in this diagram, we've chosen to split it up into two equal parts. And the most significant part is what I'm using for the first lookup, and that's because I want things that share those most significant bits, if they're all invalid, to not need to store anything for the second level. I can just store this kind of thing at the first level, which says, there's nothing here. Does that answer your question? Okay, other questions? Okay. So we have these arrays that represent kind of our nodes of our tree, and I mentioned that this array kind of looks very much like the ones we saw when we had just a simple array for everything, and we're in fact going to use the same format. We're going to use the same page table entry format that we used when we had a single level for each of the nodes of this tree. Now, there's going to be one important difference, which is that these entries here are going to be, you know, give us physical page numbers, but we're not done with the lookup, right? We have two levels. We, you know, if we have something valid, we always go to that second level and then go from there to the actual data. So at the first level, our physical page numbers aren't telling us where to find data, they're telling us where to find the next table if there is one. Also, since we're borrowing our page table entry format, like with page table entries and our single level, the way we tell if it's invalid is by looking at this valid bit. We're not going to check if it's a null pointer. That's not what matters. What matters is if the valid bit is set or not. And this is partly because, you know, physical page number 0 might be a completely valid physical page, as might all the other possibilities for physical page number, so we need some extra information to encode the equivalent of a null pointer here. And you can see that, like, our lookup here, this is just finding these page table entries, like in, with our, you know, simpler scheme where we just had one big array. You know, this is just an array lookup, just only using part of the virtual page number, just using those upper bits. So once we found a page table entry here, we're going to, you know, look at one. And if it's valid, we're going to use that physical page number to find another page table. And this page table, you know, is going to kind of start based on where what the virtual page number we looked up in the first level. So in this case, our first entry is for virtual page number 300, because when we're looking things up here, we're only using the least significant bits of the virtual page number. We've already used the most significant bits. That's how we got here. That's why I know all the page table entries here are for addresses starting with 0x3. And the first entry is for 0x300. If that second part is all zeros, then 01, that second part is 1, and so on. And once we get this last level entry, so in this case we have two levels. As a preview, we're going to add more levels, but with the same idea. But once we get to this last level, this is the page number of the actual program code or data. That's what we're going to use to actually access memory on behalf of the program. You know, the lookup of the this entry and the previous one, that's just stuff the processor is doing for its own bookkeeping, not because the program is going to see that. Some questions? Yes, back there. How does the processor know at the final one? So we're going to have a fixed number of levels that the processor will choose. So in this example, the processor has chosen two levels. And we kind of chose that when we chose how we divided up this virtual page number. That answer your question? And person next to you. So the question is, are there permission bits in our first level page table? And if so, how are they used? So generally, there will be. This is something processors might vary. But the most common thing is the permission bits are there, and they're checked on access just like the valid bit at every level. Other questions? Okay, so let's look at, you know, given that we know we have this structure, let's look at what our kind of lookup process looks from the processor's sort of implementation. So we're going to take our address. We're going to have our address split into a page offset. And our virtual page number, which in this case, we're going to split into two parts. Here I've shown them split into equal parts. That is like what processors will generally try to do. Sometimes that's just not plausible to do, and so they will split it into uneven parts, depending what's convenient for the processor and OS. You know, that processor designer will make the decision, but usually they'll make it thinking about what's convenient for our operating system to actually do. But in this case, it's split up evenly. And we take the most significant part, and we're going to do an array lookup. That essentially is the same as the one we saw with our single level big table, except we're only using part of our virtual page number. And remember, this is this operation of taking a base address, adding it to an index, in this case, part of our virtual page number times the page table entry size, that's looking up in an array that starts with that base address at the index selected from those virtual page number bits. That's going to give us the address of the first level page table entry. We're going to retrieve that, and based on the format it has, where the valid bits are and the physical page number, we're going to extract valid bits and such and check, is this even okay to keep using? If not, we're going to trigger a fault. We're going to run the OS, ask the OS what to do. If it is valid, then we're going to get a physical page number. And we're going to want to use that physical page number to access the next table. So to make that work, I have drawn on this diagram, I have multiplying by the page size. Another way we can think of this is that I'm taking I want to get a physical address, which is composed of a physical page number and a page offset. And we're going to make a decision that our pages always start at the beginning, sorry, our page tables always start at the beginning of a page at the second, third, and so on level. And so that means that our base address is going to have a page offset of 0, and we're going to use this physical page number. And multiplying by the page size is the same thing as putting in a page offset of 0 to fill out the physical address. But the key thing we're doing here is this is a type conversion. We have a physical page number. We can't access arrays with just a physical page number. We need a physical address. So I'm converting the physical page number to a physical address. After I've done that, we end up with this kind of another array lookup. This time, our base address is not from the page table base register. It's based on that first page table entry. And our index is from the next part of the virtual address. But it's another array lookup, which other than having different sources for that base and index, works the same way as our first array lookup. And that's going to give us an address at which to access memory. We're going to get a page table entry. We're going to, again, split off the valid bits and all the permission bits. We're going to check those, see if they allow this access to proceed. If not, we're going to ask the OS for help, trigger an exception. If it is valid, we're going to get our physical page number. And we're going to combine that, concatenate it with our page offset, and get the physical address to actually do the program's memory access. So with this two-level page table, our lookup now has, including the program's memory access, every memory access turns into 3 instead of 2. Because we look up the first level and the second level, and then we actually do the access the program cares about. And it's 2 array lookups, and there's just this step in the middle here where we have the issue that our page table entries don't store a full address, they only store the page number, so we need to do a little bit of conversion. So questions on our lookup process here? Okay, so this diagram I like because it gives kind of a very, you can do these steps and reproduce the lookup. A more conceptual view that you might find helpful is that we can kind of think of this as a bunch of array lookups. that we're taking our page table base register, we're using the first part of the virtual page number to look up an array element in our first level page table. We use that to find the base of our second array lookup for the second level page table. And then at the end, we use that, what we find in that last page table, as an array lookup with our page offset. And there's a bunch of details I'm omitting here that were on the previous diagram. You know, so one thing is that this is an array of page table entries, as is this, but this is an array of bytes in this view, because the page offset specifies a byte number, not an entry number. But we can kind of think of every memory access as a series of array lookups, and if we add more than two levels, we'll just add extra copies of this operation here, that second, that middle lookup. We'll just add extra copies of that in the middle. So questions on how this array view corresponds to what we saw before. Okay, so that's our multi-level page table. So multi-level meaning that in reality, you know, two levels hasn't been enough for modern systems. So like 32-bit x86 uses typically two level page tables, sometimes three. My 64-bit laptop and desktop use four level page tables. There's some 64-bit systems out there that use five. So typically we'll have more levels, but it's the same concept, just repeated more. And I didn't like show a five level table on the slides because, you know, that's just mostly redundant copies of things that would be more space wasteful than they would be helpful. And at the top levels, you know, we get our page table entry, it points to the next page table. We have to do that type conversion we saw. Right, because we have a page number, not a physical address. At the bottom level, it points to the actual code or data. And as we do the whole lookup, we check the validity at each step, because this allows us to omit sort of any subtree of this big tree that is all invalid. And that's why this is space efficient, that we aren't going to fill out all the possible kind of second or third or fourth level tables. Most of them won't exist for a typical process because it has these big regions of memory that are all invalid. We can just represent them with one entry at like the first or second level that's marked invalid, that whole big range of invalid stuff. Some questions? Okay, So one terminology note. So I've been trying to be careful in calling the pieces of the virtual page number we use as parts of the virtual page number. You might also see the term like page table index or page, you know, first level page table index, things like that. Please remember that they are parts of the virtual page number. If anyone says the virtual page number of this address, they mean the whole thing, for all the levels combined together, not the part that's used for one level of the lookup. I'm mentioning this because this is a common confusion people have, but if you're reading anything, both that we write and that you see kind of in the real world, when someone says virtual page number, they mean everything in a virtual address besides the page offset, even if there's a multi-level lookup where that's further split up. Okay, so we have a talk about an upcoming assignment. So if you've looked at the schedule, you may notice that there's a page table assignment with three submission deadlines. And this assignment is where you're gonna simulate page tables on top of normal program memory. So in your simulation, the virtual addresses for our simulation are going to be the arguments to functions you implement, And the physical addresses in our simulation are going to be your program's addresses, normal pointers in your program. So one way we can view this is that we have our simulated virtual addresses get mapped through your functions to simulated physical addresses, which are also real in the thing your program's running in, virtual addresses that get mapped by the real hardware to real physical addresses. And you're going to be dealing with the simulation, so you're going to deal with the simulated virtual and simulated physical addresses. But because we're running this on a normal OS, your simulated physical addresses really are virtual addresses on the underlying machine. So another way you can look at it, as it says, is that you're kind of implementing another layer of page tables on top of the existing system stuff. In the assignment, kind of this is the interface you'll be implementing, that we're going to specify a number of page offset bits and a number of levels. And your program needs to support a variety of possible values for those. And you're going to provide kind of two functions here. And you're going to be implementing in the simulation both the role of the hardware and the role of the operating system. So we have this translate function, which is going to basically implement the role of the hardware. You're going to be given a simulated virtual address, and you're going to look it up in the page tables and give us the corresponding simulated physical address. How are you going to look it up in the page tables? Well, the page tables are going to be pointed to by this global variable, PTBR, the page table base register simulated. So this is going to look it up, return the corresponding address, and if it's invalid, we don't have a mechanism for you to trigger an exception, so instead we're going to have your translate function return a value with all ones, which you can write in C as tilde 0. Because tilde is the complement operator that flips all bits. So that's the role of the hardware. You're also going to be implementing the role of the OS with this page allocate function. And you can think of this page allocate function of kind of doing the OS as part of allocate on demand, that we've learned that the program wants the address VA to be valid. Let's set up the page table so that happens. This is what the OS might do in response to a page fault when it promised that memory to the program, but needs it set up now. So here you're going to be given the virtual address, and you're going to modify PTBR and or the stuff it points to such that that memory is valid, in the sense that translate will now return a physical address that is allocated for that. And necessarily, because how our page tables work, you're going to allocate the whole page around that virtual address, because you can't just allocate one byte in a page table. You have to point to a whole page. So questions about our intended, the functions we're going to have to implement. Yes?
Are there restrictions on how we split the virtual address for the
levels? Question. Are there restrictions on how you split the address for the virtual levels? Yes. So the assignment will define precisely how the virtual address is split. The biggest way we're defining that is we tell you how big the page tables are, and that determines how big your indexes into those page tables are. And that will determine exactly how the address is split and how many bits of our size T are actually used for the virtual address. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay. So to kind of illustrate this more concretely, with the translate function, I'm going to show you examples where there are 12 page offset bits, which conveniently means that 12 bits is 3 hexadecimal digits. And one level, if we set up our page table base register to point to a table that has, some valid entries and some invalid, if I ask for this address 0FFF that has virtual page number 0. In this table here, I go to entry 0. It's marked as invalid, so this should return that all ones value. If I go to 1000, that's virtual page number 1. That's physical page 99999. And so I take that physical page number, concatenate with the original page offset. So you can see my page offset 0. I end up with 999000. It's 1, 999001, and so on. So that's what your translate function will do. With levels equals 1, with levels equals 2, it will have sort of an extra step to the lookup because we'll have tables that point to other tables, potentially, like we've seen in our diagrams before. Okay. So you also have page allocate. So page allocate, get the same constraints. We're going to give you an address, and we want you to make that address valid. So if I pass in address 1000 or 1001, this is virtual page number 1, I need to fill in the page tables appropriately. And your page allocate needs to handle the case where the page table base register is null, it's 0, by sort of setting it up to have a table and also filling in the entry in the table that we requested. So if we start off with no page tables at all, page allocate should set them up initially and make that particular address valid. If instead we say had PTBR pointed to a table that was kind of partially filled, you know, had some ones, you would still fill in that table entry. You know, you'd say in this case, you'd fill in the entry for 1 with allocated memory if it wasn't filled in already. If it was filled in already, you'd do nothing. But basically, your goal is to make that address valid if it's not already. If it is already, there's nothing to do. You just return. And something you'll note on the slide is that we say this memory has to be allocated with POSIX memoline. And that's a requirement in the assignment. And I'll talk about what is POSIX memoline and some things that confuse people about it on the next slide. But other than that, questions on what page allocate does? Yeah. So the question is, if VPN1 was set up and valid, and we call page allocate again with an address and virtual page number 1, would we expect page allocate to do anything? No. It should do nothing. Other questions? Okay, so let me talk, as promised, about POSIX memoline. So there are two things about POSIX memoline that cause confusion. That I'd like to get ahead of. One is that this is one of those C functions that really wants to return two values, but we can't do that in C. So instead, we have one value as our return value, this error code, and we have one value that we're returning by passing in a pointer that gets filled in, that we fill in what the pointer points to, to be precise. So this means that when you call a POSIX memoline, it will fill in the thing you give a pointer to, which is a pointer to a pointer. And that's how it returns the address allocated, and its actual return value is, was the allocation successful, and if not, why not? Now you might ask, why are we having you use this function instead of something like calloc or malloc, which are perfectly serviceable? And that's because the other thing which is confusing here is, what's this alignment parameter? This is why we're having you use this function instead of some simpler memory allocation function. So often the documentation will say the alignment parameters make sure the allocation is aligned to that. What does that mean? It makes the result address chosen is going to be a multiple of that number. And this is particularly useful for our assignment because when we're allocating a page for the program, it's really important that we allocate a page. So if I think of my memory divided up into page number, 17, 18, 19, 20, when I allocate some memory, I want to get a page of it, like all of page 18. I don't want to get, something that is, it's a page, but it's not, but it's actually split across two pages the way we divide up our memory into simulated physical pages. And the alignment parameter allows us to ensure we get the pink allocation here, the whole, all of page 18, instead of some allocation that crosses between two of these pages, because we can say the allocation needs to start on a multiple of our page size with the alignment parameter. So questions about POSIX MemAlign? Okay, so if you look at the schedule, we have our sort of anticipated deadlines for the assignment. So for the first part, you just need to handle one level, 12 PO bits, and either your choice of translate or page allocate. And then we have some much later deadlines. And the part two deadline is special. So we're going to have a code review exercise in the lab. And before that, we'd like most of the actual functionality done. There's some stuff that you don't have to have done for the code review, but everything that's going to be looked at in that code review, we want done before the lab and submitted before the lab. We will not normally accept late submissions because the primary purpose of the part two submission is to know what you did on your own before you talk to people in the lab, so that we don't normally accept late submissions for that. Obviously sickness and stuff, we might figure something out, but like really important that we actually have stuff done before we do that code review exercise. Then the final submission is very shortly after that code review exercise is the final submission where you can hopefully take things you learn by sort of showing your code and discussing it with your people in lab in person and apply that. But we want to have a record of what you had before that when you were working entirely on your own. The way grading works for the assignment is that most of the grade is in part three, and part of most of the grade being there is that, yes, there's a grade for part one and part two based on what you submit then, but some of the stuff you were supposed to do for part one, if you don't get it done in part one, we will still have that as part of the points for part three, and you should therefore still make sure that works, and you'll still get credit on part three if that works, even if it didn't in part one. Questions about assignment logistics here? Okay, so just a couple other notes on the assignment. So one thing in the assignment is that we have kind of a very deliberate choice of a page table format. So we specify the page table entry format because we want to be able to test your submission. And we choose this interesting thing where our page table entries have this physical page number kind of sitting out, offset from the beginning. In particular, with PO bits equals 12, it's 12 bits from the end. And this is a choice that you see in most processors, actually. Most processors kind of set up their page table entries so that the physical page number is placed such that if we think of a physical address, the physical address's physical page number is in the same place as the page table entry's physical page number. And why would we do this? This makes it very easy for the OS to convert between page table entries and physical addresses and vice versa, because that's now just kind of masking out bits. So for example, if I want to get the address of the beginning of a page from its page table entry, What do I do here? I just clear out these bottom bits, you know, to set a page offset of probably zero for the beginning of the page, and now I have the address, physical address of that page. Versus if you put the physical page number elsewhere, we have to do some bit shifting and stuff, which would be annoying. So for that reason, almost all processors choose this style of page table entry format, where our page number is in the same place it's in the physical address, and our page offset bits, because they don't really, we don't have a page offset in a page table entry, they're used for our valid bits and other metadata like that. Questions on this, why this page table entry format is convenient? Yeah, and if we're thinking of the assignment, remember page allocates where you're playing the role of OS, so that's one place this would be convenient. It's also useful for implementing translate. And I have some diagrams, these are also in the assignment, on kind of another picture of what our translate and page allocate functions are doing. So our translate function, you know, if I take a virtual address, it's going to look at the page table base register global variable. It's going to find our first, our page table, in this case with levels equals one, there's only one page table. We're going to use our virtual page number to index into the page table. We're going to get an entry. We have the physical page number that tells us where the page starts. And we're going to return an address based on the page offset within that page. And for page allocate, you know, if the page table base register isn't set, we're going to set up a new page to hold the page table. We're going to initially have it all be invalid. We're going to fill in an entry and point to a second new allocation that is our actual data. Questions on our upcoming page table assignment. Okay. So in our remaining time, let's do some exercises with multi-level page tables. So I'm going to have a bunch of exercises. We probably will only get to like a couple of them. We're going to deal with, for example, a 9-bit virtual address and a 6-bit physical address. And I'm going to have 8-bit pages, which means my page offset is 3 bits. So that means I have a 6-bit virtual page number and a 3-bit physical page number. And I'm going to have my page tables be one page. That's another way of saying they're going to be 8 bytes. Note that I'm saying one page, not one page table entry, one page. So they're going to have, in fact, 8 entries. And, you know, have indexes 0 through 7. But we're going to have, as the title of the slide says, 2 levels. So that means that with 8 entry page tables, we're going to split up our virtual page number into 3-bit parts. Why 3? Because 2 to the 3 is 8. Our indexes in each table go from 0 to 7. So we need numbers 0 through 7 extracted twice from our virtual page number. So my first part is the upper 3 bits, then my next part is the next 3 bits. So I'm going to use this part to look up in our first level page table, and assuming I find a valid entry there, that's going to tell me where my second level page table is, and I'm going to use VPN part 2 to look up a page table entry in there. I'll go through this example, and then we'll do how you do one on your own. So I have that set up, and let's do this with virtual address 10129. So first thing I'm going to do is convert this to binary. So this is 001001010001, just converting each digit. But I know that only 9 of the bits are used, so I'm going to scratch out these upper leading zeros. They're not really part of the address, just an anomaly of converting from hex. And we know the first 3 bits, this is our first part of the VPN, then our second part, and then we have our page offsets. And we're going to look up in our first level page table, the first part, the index from the first part of the VPN. Our page table base register is 20, so that means that these 8 bytes are our first level page table. And I want to look up index 100, virtual page number part 1 in there, that's also known as 4. So I have, this is 4, I want to look up index 4. I know each entry is 1 byte. So that's going to mean I'm going to end up reading F4 here. Another way I could have computed that is I could say I'm going to do an array lookup where I have my base, lowX20, plus my index of 4 times my size of 1 gives me OX24. That's where my first level page table entry is. And now I need to decode that to figure out what does that mean. The value is OXF4. If I decode that according to the information up here, I find out that means that I have physical page number 111, also known as 7, and a valid bit of 1. So that's the first step of our lookup. If we go back to this diagram here, I have done this part. And I still need to do this whole part here. So we have our first part done, and I have that written out here. We just got our first level page table entry and decoded it. So now I need to find my next page table. So our first level page table was here from our page table base register. And this here, this is going to find me my second level page table for this address. But I want to convert it to a physical address. So I'm going to do that by adding a page offset. And we always start at the beginning of the page, so the page offset I add is a 0. And this is the same thing as OX38. So for our second level of our translation, we're going to take this OX38, which came from our physical page number, and that's going to be our second level table. Now, for our second level table, we're going to look up an index in there based on the second part of the VPN. We're just going down the address from the highest bits to the lowest bits. So I'm going to look up the next part of the VPN, this part here, this 101, also known as 5, that's going to be our index in here, and that's going to get me to that DC that I'm doing OX38 plus 5 times 1 equals OX3D. So that's my second level table entry. So questions on how I got that? Okay. And so I have that written out here. I'll just here. Have us taking this address, converting it to there, and that gives us our base of our second level table. And now we need to use our final page table entry to actually access, you know, the program's memory for it. So I have my page table entry 2, my second level 1 is OXDC. I decode that and find out it has PPM 110 and a valid bit of 1. And I'm going to produce my physical address by combining that 110 with my original page offset to get address 31. And that's where I'm going to end up accessing memory on behalf of the program. Some questions on this process? Yes?
So I get where the offset 001 comes to the final address, but that transition between the numbers
where we have the offset 00 and the 100. Yeah. So the question is, where is this 000? So on this diagram here, that's this translation where we had a page number, but we wanted a page address. That's doing that translation, and I'm doing it by doing it in this style here, where I said, I have a page number, I need an address has a page number and a page offset. So I shoved in a page offset of all zeros. Why all zeros? Because our page tables always start at the beginning of a page, which we kind of have to do because we can only give a page number to point to them. Where else are we going to start them? The beginning makes the most sense. An implementation that's going to be like an unconditional shift? Yes. Oh, yeah. I have the highlighted version here. Other questions? Not yet. So let's do, I recommend taking out some sort of thing that can write, since I find these hard to do in my head. Let's do one here where we have a different base register. So our first level table here is this, and our virtual address is different. Thank you. In the interest of time, I will sort of go through my explanation so I kind of finish it up in time. There's some more exercises in the slides. So the first step I use is I say, okay, I have address OFFB. I want to find out the virtual page number parts and page offset of that. So I write it out. I realize I need a 9-bit number. And our first most significant 3 bits are our first virtual page number part. I'm going to use that with my page table base register to go to index 3 of the array of page table entries. Since each entry is 1 byte according to the question, this is index 0, 1, 2, 3. So I end up at address 0x0b, and I find bb, and I will switch to my written out version as my first page table entry. So that's my first entry. So XCD, I decode that and find out that specifies physical page number 1001 and is valid. It's valid, so I can keep going. And I need to turn that into a page table 2 location. So I'm going to say physical page number 101, that's going to be physical address 101000, which is the same as 0x18. So this is here, this is our second level page table. And we want to go to index 7 of that. And so that's going to be this.
It's supposed to be 0x28.
Oh, 2, right. 102, yes, that is 28, yep. Doing transcription. So 0x28, which means our second level table is here. And that gives us this seventh entry, and that entry with index 7 is at the very end of the table, since they have 8 entries, is there. And that gives us the value F0. I decode that, get physical page number 7 and valid. I can keep going. And I combine that physical page number with my original page offset to get address 3B. So if the program is accessing memory there, it's going to see the value or manipulate the value OXC. So. So questions on this example? Okay, so that's right. So we're finished for today. So we might review this a little next time, but our main topic next time we anticipate being about caches. which we'll talk about for a while, then go a little back to how we make page tables fast.